Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My show today is In the Know with Zach Simpson and our new guest, Zach Scarafaro. Zach, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Cynthia. Hi, Zach.
Hi. Let me get Zach Simpson on the phone. Hold on for just 1 second.
Hello.
Hi, we're all here. This is In the Know with Zach Simpson, and we have a new co-host on In the Know, Zach Garofalo. And I'm sorry, I pronounced your name wrong, Zach. Garofalo?
Hey, Cynthia. Yeah, that's correct. Morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning, Zach. How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Thanks for joining us. It's great.
So we'll be talking about events that are recent in Albany, and to talk about future events and how it's going to impact the city. So Zach, Zach J. tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about you and how we met, and that you have also been on Focus on Albany before. So give us a little background of who you are.
Sure. So once again, Cynthia, thank you for having me on your show. And I live in the Pine Hills section of Albany. I've been active in the, in the community for a number of years now. During the day, I run a program that gets people out of nursing facilities and connected back to their communities with the resources and services they need to live independently. But then I've been active in, a few things. I'm on the police review board. I'm a co-founder of A Block at a Time. And I'm a Democratic committee person. And I think that, service to our community is one of the most important things that we should all be doing as community members. And it was through those things that, our paths all crossed, Cynthia, Zach, mm-hmm. and myself, mm-hmm. I think through our shared, our shared dedication to our community.
Right. So, Zach S.
That's funny. Go ahead.
This is going to be interesting, but who's Zach?
Right. And there's possibly going to be one more on the state level, so that's going to be even more fun. So, ZS. How about that? ZS. Give us a little overview of what happened this week in Albany.
Well, so for me personally, I did go outside the city on Sunday. I went up to my hometown of Knox up in the Hilltowns, and I attended a Knox Democratic Committee get-together, and they included all voters, not just Democrats, Republicans, Independents, to come and enjoy a little. They had some they had a band that had a bass, I think it was a violin, keyboard. That was nice, and they had some nice food. So I got to mix with some of folks up in Knox. One thing that was cool, though, is I used to play Little League, and I was on Knox 2. That was the team. My coach from when I was first in Little League was there, Bruce Countryman, and I haven't seen him in probably 25 years. So that was the highlight of the day.
So, Zach G., you are originally from Hoosick Falls, And I want to ask the both of you, what brought you here to Albany? Zach G., why don't you start?
So I'm originally from outside of Boston, but I went to college in Bennington, Vermont, at Southern Vermont College, and we used to always come out to Albany because, you know, as beautiful as Bennington is, there, you know, like a lot of small towns, there wasn't really much to do. So we would always come out to Albany, and I fell in love with it literally from day one, because we'd come out here for the nightlife if we had to go, you know, go get something at the mall. So that's, you know, it was basically the next logical step at that point in my life was moving to Albany because this is where the jobs were. And, you know, it was also somewhat familiar territory at that point in time. But I did live in Hoosick Falls for about 2 years, you know, prior to moving to Albany.
So when you moved to Albany, was it everything you expected, or has some things about Albany disappointed you?
It's basically, so I've been very fortunate, you know, living here with the friends that I've made, the jobs that I've had, and I guess the groups that I have joined. So it's been everything and more, I think, that, you know, someone of my age could have expected from our small city.
Okay. Zach Simpson, I'm sorry. So you went to the reunion last week, and
mm-hmm.
you know that must have been fun networking with people that you haven't seen in a while. So what else did you to do this week?
So Monday, I spoke to the University of Albany College Democrats at their weekly meeting. And it was really great. I talked a little bit about, you know, getting involved in politics a little later in life after Trump got elected. That's what really was, you know, the real catalyst that got me involved in, you know, the Democratic Party and campaigning and a lot of my community service came after 2016. And so I talked a little bit about, you know, a lot of that, and they asked a lot of questions about, you know, did my University at Albany education have an impact on me, you know, as far as my political evolution. they asked more questions than I expected, but it was good. It was about a dozen. They asked about a dozen questions after I spoke. And then Jessica Wilcox, she ran for Albany City Court Judge. She came to speak a little bit, too, about, you know, party unity and her experience as a political candidate. So that was really great. And these kids are really smart, these kids at UAlbany. I was really impressed. I really was.
So you're also a committee person, right?
Yeah. So I represent Ward 12, Election District 2, which is the Pine Bush part of town. Even though I don't live in the Pine Bush, I live in the Upper Washington Avenue neighborhood. The bylaws allow me to serve as a committee person in an area that I don't necessarily live in. So that's kind of how I started going to the Pine Bush Neighborhood Association meetings and getting involved directly with the Rapp Road Historical Association.
So this might be a difficult question, but I'm going to put you on the hot seat. I'm also on the Democratic Committee. So the Democratic Committee and the city, I mean, and the county of Albany, are you happy with it, or would you like to see some changes?
Is that for me or for Zach G?
You mean Zach Simpson.
Oh, you know, we do have our bylaws. I think the committee, I've enjoyed being on the committee thus far. I like the camaraderie of it. You know, we meet countywide maybe once or twice a year. We always have our county picnic, which is great. I personally enjoy being on the committee. I like going door to door. I like collecting signatures, and I like helping candidates get elected. So So that's, I think it's overall a very positive thing to be on the committee.
You know, you talk about the picnic years ago when Corning was still alive and Polly Noonan was reigning as his, you know, sidekick, more or less. The county committee, the county picnic was like the place to be. There were thousands and thousands of people here. And, you know, it made the newspaper every year. And now it really doesn't. So, Zach Garofalo, how do you feel about being on the committee?
I enjoy being on the committee. I think there's a lot of fascinating history just about Albany and Albany County in general. And I think that us as committee members, us as engaged citizens, we can learn a lot from that. When I ran for it, so I had to campaign because there were a couple people who were running for the seat that I was running for. So I ran on a platform to increase the disability vote within Albany County. As everybody's probably aware, people with disabilities participate at such a lower level in our society. And so kind of one of my main issues is, you know, coordinating with the party to increase the political participation of the county disability community. And so we've been focusing on voter registration, education, access, and engagement, you know, working to engage candidates on disability issues, eliminating barriers to voting, promoting the turnout of voters with disabilities, and also expanding disabled residents' participation in civic life. So it's been an incredibly, you know, fascinating opportunity. We've put together a disability caucus with the party, and party leadership has been incredibly open to this because I think they realize the power of the disability vote. So it's really cool to, you know, to know the history of what's going on, and then also apply what's, you know, fill in that missing segment into our Democratic Party today.
Wow, that's interesting. So we're up to Wednesday, Zach Simpson.
Oh, did we skip Tuesday?
did we talk about Tuesday? I'm sorry.
Oh, so yeah, so Tuesday I swung by a fundraiser for Amy Joyce. She won the primary to get on to be nominated by the Democratic Party for Albany County Family Court. So I stopped by her fundraiser at the Ancient Order of Hibernians, and then I went over to the Whitehall Neighborhood Association. They met at the Delaware Avenue Library, and they have a new interim board, and they talked about, you know, a couple issues in the neighborhood. I think it was Van Skoik. There's several streetlights that have been out for quite some time, and they were talking about that. It was nice to get together.
So, Zach Garofalo, is there anything that you've done in the days that, you know, Zach has been talking about that are noteworthy and the people should know?
Basically, I've been working on a block at a time. What we're doing is we're synthesizing all of the different feedback that we've received from people. So a block at a time, for folks who don't know, we're a community-based organization that's working to empower community members to be active citizens who are aware of their rights and who know how to use their voices to influence policies, practices, regulations, and law. So we've been holding forums across the city to basically try to close the gap between the police department and community members, empowering neighbors, you know, to drive what community-driven policing should look like in Albany. So basically, my week has been putting together, synthesizing all of the feedback that we've received, and turning it into a report, which will have, you know, video, audio and you know, words, basically highlighting what people have said. You know, we need to decrease violence in our city, but how do we do that? Whether and basically tangible solutions that people have given us. So I've been basically working on finishing up that report.
So whose idea was it to start A Block at a Time? I know that you teamed up with Danielle Hilly. Was it her idea? Was it your idea? How did this form?
So A Block at a Time was kind of formed, the idea of it was formed a few years ago with just Danielle Hilly and I talking. You know, she's the real catalyst for bringing it to life, but it's been in the works for a few years. We were able to operationalize it probably in late March and early April 2019. But Danielle's been the real, you know, the real champion for carrying that torch. You know, it's been an honor to work alongside her throughout this process.
And Zach Simpson, you know about A Block at a Time. You've gone to some of
yes.
the meetings, right?
You know,
yes.
As Zach was talking, I thought about, I think it possibly could have been the first forum. It was after the First Street incident. And there was a lot of emotion, a lot of people just pouring their hearts out about how upset they were about what happened there. And I it was like the first time I've seen anything like it. And it was very impactful. And but they, you know, I think they, what did you do, Zach, two other forums afterwards where you tried to kind of rein things in a little and work on solutions and getting, you know, solutions, you know, bi-directional, not just from, you know, the people that were sitting up the front, but people from the audience trying to work towards common goals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we held for that, the incident that occurred back in March, the first forum, while it might have seemed disorganized, it was intentionally designed that way. Because whenever you have traumatic incidents, you want people to be able to express them in an unfiltered but controlled environment. So it was controlled chaos for a reason. And then the next two forums, after people got all of the anger and raw emotions out onto the floor, that's when we started being able to try to drive that in a solutions-oriented direction. We've done that, you know, other events have come up that have kind of led to impromptu forums. And we have that organization specifically so that people can give their unfiltered feedback. And this is, you know, we've coordinated this with command staff at the police department. I think they understand the importance of people really need to speak up and speak out, especially people who have not been engaged in this process before. That's really what we're trying to do. Bring people who are not at the table to the table so that they can sit down, say how they're feeling unfiltered, not having to worry about any kind of repercussions, and then at future meetings, harness that into solutions-driven outcomes.
Yeah, I actually went to the one on the Myrtle Avenue fire. The mayor was there, the fire chief, the police chief. I think there was a representative from the county. That was a very emotional one as well, because there was people there that were burned out of their homes by that big loss. I mean, it was 14 families were displaced.
Yeah, there was a lot of tragedy. And a lot of just raw emotions at that. And right now it's trying to figure out, you know, how can we partner with the fire department, because there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of anger going around, and we have to figure out, you know, how can we repair the harm that's been done? How can we help people heal the wounds from the trauma that's been inflicted? And ultimately rebuild and strengthen those relationships between the fire department and community members moving forward.
One of the things that I've noticed is that as social media becomes more and more popular in people's lives. They become disengaged in the community. So, Zach Garofalo, has your efforts increased engagement, do you think? And do you think I'm correct in my assumption that social media has caused people to be, you know, just focusing on social media and talking on Facebook and Twitter and stuff?
So, you know, social media is both a blessing and a curse. It simultaneously brings us together while also pushing us apart. We have a tendency to operate within our own echo chambers, and we hear and see only the views that we agree with. And so,
right.
You know, I think in terms of, so I the answer I think is complex. So when you look at it through a disability lens, for people with disabilities who are trying to connect, I think that it brings together and can be really, really a powerful, powerful organizing tool. Look at, like, you know, so the disability community has been able to orchestrate a large deal of success with propelling legislation, and it empowers people who traditionally would not be able to attend protests, actions, that kind of thing. It's also propelled, you know, overseas, like with the Arab Spring and, you know, in Myanmar. It's galvanized people and led to regime changes, the outcomes that, you know, we can't even debate at this time because it's too soon to tell. But at the same time, you know, it also has the power to really divide us into different blocks based on, you know, the information that we want. Speaking for a block at a time, you know, we intentionally built a platform that would allow online engagement, whether you were, you know, a working parent who couldn't attend, you were an older adult or a person with a disability. And so I think that having all of our things online and available to people promotes engagement. We've been able to take questions that people send us through messages and make sure that those are answered. You know, so I think that in terms of community building for a block at a time, it's augmented the direct work, the forums that we hold, you know, by engaging a traditionally disengaged population. But again, social media for a block at a time is only one part of the broader outreach strategy.
I think you talked about an important word, and that's disengage. And Zach Simpson goes to meetings, and, you know, he's involved in a lot of stuff. Or, I'm sorry, you're involved in a lot of stuff. So, Zach Simpson, do you feel that the meetings that you go to are important? Do a lot of people go? Do a lot of people speak up? What's your opinion?
I think it depends on which meetings you're talking about. Some are smaller, some are larger, but I like going to different neighborhood associations because there's a variety. I mean, like, I went to the Beverwick one not so long ago for the first time, and they meet every month, and they usually like an invited speaker. And then I went to, Wednesday, actually. Zach came and spoke a little bit about a block at a time at my neighborhood association, the Upper Washington Avenue mm-hmm. Neighborhood Association, which we meet every 3 months, generally, unless there's something really urgent that pops up. So it was nice. So Zach talked a little bit about a block at a time. And we had, Mallory Wright. She's with the Albany Water Department. She came and talked about the Melrose Water Mitigation Study. And then we had Ray Joyce, who is county legislator with representatives from National Grid, come and talk about some of the power outages that we've experienced up here in the Upper Washington neighborhood.
And so I think Zach Simpson,
mm-hmm.
we're up to Thursday.
Thursday, I met with Stop the Stories. We meet every week at the New Covenant Church up near Daytona and Western. We talked a little bit mm-hmm. about the 1211 Western Avenue project. We talked about my panel discussion. So I'm participating in a panel discussion next this Wednesday at Cana at 6:30 at the Albany Public Library. We're talking about issues surrounding development and zoning and preserving historical resources in the city of Albany.
Jack Arisella, I'm glad Jack mentioned Step the Stars. Were you involved in the Rezone Albany issue at all?
No, I was not.
Okay. Okay. But would you agree that that was an important issue?
You know, I again, this is speaking from a place with limited knowledge. I think that any effort to update antiquated zoning laws to make Albany a more attractive place to live, work, and play is something that has been a long time coming. And again, I'm also coming from a place of not really having, intensive background knowledge of the process. But I think that mm-hmm. anything that's going to spur economic development, that's going to spur job creation, that's going to make this, you know, to build on the attractiveness of living in Albany, I'm all for.
Jack Simpson, how do you feel about Rezone?
Well, I wasn't involved with Rezone either. I'm kind of, at this point, going backwards and reviewing, like, the 2030 Comprehensive Plan, the creation of the USDO, which was the new version of the zoning. Right now, there are several amendments to the USDO, which are going to be considered by the Albany Common Council. Some of them I absolutely agree with. Some of them I have a lot of questions about regarding setbacks and signage and changing the use classification for certain areas of town. So from what I understand, there was a lot of meetings that occurred during the rezone and during the 2030 plan. But I think the USDO does need some revamping. Doesn't need to get thrown out and redone, but it needs some probably some further amendments after this round as well. So I'm kind of going back and reviewing these documents in detail and seeing, you know, what is kind of glaring at me as far as the way it reads. There's some conflicting areas of the code. There's been some issues with it being misinterpreted by the planning department. So we need to really tighten up, you know, are we reviewing this code correctly? Are we sticking with the code correctly? So that's my take on it.
I think it's important. I agree with you, Zach Arifello, that Albany needs more attractive things to have people come into Albany and like you said, work and play here. But at the same time, I do not want developers to come into Albany just for the sake of making money and screw the people. What do you think?
You know, I think it's a fine line. We need to have an array of vibrant small businesses that are supported by community members, whether they're college kids, taxpayers. But it's like, how do we attract people here as opposed to other communities? How do we get them to come to Albany? And so I think looking at, you know, and again, not really knowing the whole background, I think it involves looking at a whole slew of things. Is it really fair to give developers massive tax breaks for multiple years? Is that fair when you have a disproportionately small number of taxpayers paying taxes for the entire city? you know, some places have put in, like New York City, for example, congestion, and I'm not advocating anything. I'm just speaking off the top of my mind at this point. I think we have to have a holistic approach to development that then contributes to the betterment of the city.
Zach Simpson?
I'm sorry. what was Zach responding to? I'm sorry. Kind of lost my train of thought there.
Okay, what I said is economic development is fine. Having people come to all the work and play is good.
But you don't want developers to screw us over.
Right, exactly.
You know, there needs to be a consistent standard with dealing with these developers. I think they come in all different styles. I think there's good developers that really comply with the zoning, the rules, and the regulations. And then there's some that really, you know, kind of, you know, don't. So we have to be consistent with the way development is handled, as well as how the planning department deals with these developers.
Okay.
Cynthia, can I add something to
that? Sure.
Thank you. So, you know, I like what Zach Simpson just said, but you know, looking at alternatives. So we have a ton of nonprofits here. We're the capital city. You know, we have all these tax exempt entities, and you know, looking at the ways that some of these entities. And don't get me wrong, they are giving back. They're doing wonderful, wonderful work for our community. But you can't just have something. People should be so pilot payments in lieu of taxes.
Right.
So what is something tangible that nonprofit does not always mean like you have limited resources. Some nonprofits have tons and tons and tons of money. And how can that money be best used by some sort of agreement between a municipality, Albany, and that nonprofit, right? How do we create that social responsibility where nonprofits feel and realize that they are members of our community utilizing services that hardworking taxpayers pay for? How can we create, again, it goes back to community building and what A Block at a Time is trying to do, and I think that we're all trying to do, you know, get people to be active and engaged community members. How can we promote that social responsibility among all different nonprofits, whether it be pilots, payments in lieu of taxes that can go to, you know, go to support community development projects, economic development, whatever you want to call it. But how can we create a culture in which people and entities want to give back to the community in which they live and or work?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Zach Simpson, we're up to the end of the week.
Yes. So today I'm just going to a block party on Rosemont Street in my neighborhood. They close off the street, and so I'm going to be going to that this afternoon. One thing I wanted to talk about was, it was at the last A Block at a Time forum that I learned about CROAD. Now, were you familiar with CROAD, Zach, before the Myrtle Avenue incident?
Vaguely. I mean, just in terms of disaster response, basically, but that was new to me.
Yeah, so Cynthia, there's this group, it's called CROAD. It's Capital Region Organizations Active in Disasters. And what they do is they have representatives from Catholic Charities, American Red Cross, Department of Social Services, and several others. They create this, like, I think it's called a MARC. Is that like a multi-agency resource center where it's like a one-stop shop for these people going through a disaster to help them get services and get back on their feet. I thought it was a really great organization. So I went to a meeting a few weeks ago about this group, and I really I think I'm going to be involved with them a lot going forward. So that was kind of a cool example of me going to a meeting and finding out there's another organization which I'm really interested in.
Wow. So for both of you, what's on your agenda for this coming week? Zach Simpson, why don't you start?
So, yeah, just my big thing is going to be participating in the CANA panel on Wednesday. And then Saturday, I'm actually going to go up to my hometown of Knox, and I'm going to do door-to-door for some town of Knox candidates for town supervisor and the town board. So going back up to my hometown for a day.
Zach Garofalo, what are you doing this coming week?
So this week, the police review board, actually, no, that's the following. I am getting ahead of myself right now. This week, I'm finishing up writing our report. So there'll be a draft of that circulating around. We're hoping to get as much community input into this as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll definitely be sharing it with you guys. I know that we had asked Zach Simpson, and he, you know, eagerly wanted to help. So I'll have a draft
yep.
of that in terms of just collaboration with the Neighborhood Association, how we can tap into that. And then, you know, then it's just basically, you know, my work life. The police review board is the week of, you know, the week of October 7th. But I have a couple cases that I have to go to the police department to review that will be on our docket. So that's basically it for me. We have a new space at Grand Street Community Arts that's kind of turned into
mm-hmm.
our little headquarters. So I've,
mm-hmm.
you know, just basically been fixing things up, cleaning up the space. That's kind of like our little, like, I guess, clubhouse, so to speak, where we, you know, where we're operating out of. So there have also been, and Cynthia, if I can, this weekend we saw, you know, another series of unprecedented incidents of violence in our city. And so we're trying to figure out the best way to respond to that. Five people were shot. There was a stabbing. The department, and particularly the communications office, is woefully understaffed. You know, the officers are keeping the community safe, but with very, very limited resources. And at the same time, you know, you have there are community members who have really been affected by this. You know, what happens in one area of the city affects us all, essentially. And so we're trying to figure out a response plan to that. So I would definitely stay tuned to the A Block at a Time social media, you know, for that. We're trying to figure out what we can do this week to kind of work with community members to, you know, to respond to that.
So I'm going to the meetings on Tuesday night for WCAA, which is on Grand Street. And Paul Smart is the coordinator of all the new shows. And he's doing such a great job. And hopefully, you know, the station will pick up. There'll be a lot of community dialogue and, you know, Paul is great about me being included and you guys being included. So I have high hopes for WCAA. I'm excited about it. So what I'm going to do this week is on Tuesday, they're having the event at the Times Union Building up Wolf Road. And there's going to be a talk about NXIVM. It's called a post-trial talk. And over the past couple of weeks, I've been reading books on NXIVM and Keith Raniere. And, you know, when NXIVM was in its heyday, I kind of like browsed over the stories in the Times Union. I really didn't read them in depth. But now that I'm reading them from people who have experienced the group, it's really frightening. It's frightening that something like this can happen in our own backyard and people are really unaware of what's going on. So So that's going to be an interesting interesting discussion on Tuesday. And I think the discussion that the three of us had to have today is really terrific. We brought up a lot of interesting stuff. And I think, I know that what I'd like to do is continue a dialogue and have other people join in on in the conversation, either on the radio or through social media, so that whatever issues are affecting the city of Albany, people can talk about it. And maybe if people talk more about it, there would have been less violence. What do you think, guys?
I did hear about the shootings and the stabbings, and any violence in our city, I really have a problem with it. So I thank Zach for everything they're doing about this issue. I think we saw like a downtick, didn't we, this year, Zach? And now it seems like it's ramping up a little bit again, as far as the shootings.
Yeah, definitely a downtick, but when they've happened this year, it's been, all at once kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
what do you
think
now?
Point,
I mean, I would equate violence with the really hot weather, but it really hasn't been that hot, hot weather where tempers are flared. What do you think caused all the violence over the past couple of weeks?
I think it's interspersed with basically a lack of opportunity. And when we talk about investing in our communities, that's where this is really important. Look at just like neighborhood programs to begin with, and the city does have stuff and the county does have things that are existing, but we can always build on those. If you give young people a thing to do during the day and something that they design, something that you create the buy-in from the ground up, that's a proven model to mitigate violence. The U.S. Department of Justice has funded, all sorts of things, career-focused mentoring, job training, all of that stuff. And that's, we can take a large-scale funding model such as that and use that with pilots, payments in lieu of taxes, and then basically put it in places where nonprofits aren't already providing services. I think we need this whole net, this whole safety net of things available, in different parts of our community that young people design, implement, monitor, and evaluate, and it's driven by them. SNUG, the anti-violence initiative, that has had tremendous success. There have been mentoring programs run by, Families Together, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, PAL, all of that stuff. But I think we need more, and we need to catch people. We need not just prevention services, but things, in the transition to adult years, that period between 16 and 28. A lot of traditional services are based on either the child model or the adult model. We do not have enough transition age youth services in place where these people could basically participate in a productive activity, whatever that productive activity is. But it's an incredible disservice, and that's the way funding is generally set up. It's either child services or adult services. We need transition age youth services, I think, to kind of spur this tick in violence. And I also think that the police department needs additional manpower to be able to intervene to stop what's going on. It's a very small segment, a very, very small number of people who are committing these atrocious acts. And the rest of the people are just innocent bystanders who are just caught up by situation.
Wow. So in our closing moments, Jack Simpson, do you have any final words?
Well, I think it was a great discussion today. I thank Zach for coming on and also for coming to my neighborhood this week to talk. And, you know, the next week, you know, right now it's looking a little light on my schedule, so I could do some catching up around the house. I've been kind of going, mm-hmm. Full speed the last few weeks, so I'm looking forward to a week of a little downtime.
So
that out
of
the
great.
Thank you, Cynthia, and Zach. Definitely, thank you for inviting me. This has been, I've enjoyed this discussion and just talking to both of you about, what you're doing and how collectively we can work together to build on our already great city.
Terrific. So we'll talk again next week, and thank you guys for coming on Focus on Albany, and thank you everybody for listening. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Thank you and have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Cynthia. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. Bye, Zach.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.